Hello, and welcome to the Back Issue Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about an older comic book storyline. In this Back Issue Spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing Infinite Frontier number 0. How you doing tonight, James?
I'm actually doing pretty well. How are you doing, John?
I am doing well. Now, we're recording this on Thursday, June 24th, and I mention that because it's the day after Infinite Frontier was released, but we get our comics mail order, so it's actually before at least I've gotten it or read it. I assume you haven't gotten it or read it either?
Nope, my package has not arrived.
All right. So we're going to be discussing the 0 issue in the, I don't know, 3 or so months of comics that came after it that it was kind of promoting and stuff. And the genesis for this issue is I thought it might be fun to revisit the 0 issue before the miniseries started. I think I was wrong.
All right, that's a glowing endorsement of this book.
I had a hard time rereading this, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, because I remember I initially read it and I was like, man, this is a really long comic. You know, it's 80 pages or 100 pages or something like that. And then I remember when we were doing our monthly spotlight, you said, hey, I took a lot of notes on this. You may want to just go over it again. So I read it again. And then now that we're doing the back issue spotlight, I read it a third time. I'm like, oh, man, it was just a chore going through it 3 times.
It's only about 64 pages.
Is that it? It felt like 80.
I know.
Oh, God.
And this, in my mind, was less of a regular comic than it was a teaser for the restored starting titles.
Yes.
And it was a full issue length house ad disguised as an anthology issue. And
it was a house ad, and it reminded me of a book that we reviewed from Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called Point One or something
that.
And it felt like reading that catalog. Here's the new books, and it gives you like a little sample, a little tease of each one.
Well, it's funny because Marvel did that a couple of times with the Point One and whatnot, where it was either a couple of pages from the comic or just a teaser of it, and it was a smattering of it to give you a sense of what was coming out.
Yeah.
DC did that back in, I want to say the 80s. I could be off by even a decade on that. Maybe it was the 90s, but I think it was the 80s. Where they did the DC Sampler.
Okay.
And it was a 32-page comic that just had, you know, just a couple of pages from what was coming out soon to kind of, you know, get you interested, give you a sense of, is this something you might like? And this is kind of sort of that, but it's got a framing sequence sort of around it.
Yeah.
And when I read this initially, I was treating this kind of like a basic anthology, you know, like we get the anniversary issues and stuff like that. And with this, we've got this table of contents. And they list, what, 11 stories?
Yeah, 11 stories and a lot of creators.
11 stories plus a framing sequence. So yeah. I'm like, well, I'll just kind of sort of use that, I guess, as, you know, how I'm going to organize my notes or whatever. But the order they're on in the table of contents, which doesn't have any page numbers or anything, and the order they're in the book didn't quite seem to match.
Yeah.
And what's the framing sequence, what's not? It's just, I don't know. And it wasn't bad. When I read this originally, I was really kind of excited by it. I thought it was pretty good. And I was interested in where the DC Universe was going. Post-future state.
Yes.
Well, now we're about 3.5 months past that. I've kind of seen where this is going.
Yeah.
It didn't benefit really much of anything.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Because there were one or two places here where what they tell us here and what we saw in the book it was ostensibly promoting did not match. There's a couple of these things. It's like they've had, you know, a quarter of a year to play some of this out in any way, shape, or form, and haven't in some cases. And some of the stuff they did here, like with the Wonder Girl page or two, nothing happened there.
literally nothing. I remember that was your gripe when we talked about Wonder Girl, that there wasn't a lot of progression in the story. Basically, she just showed up at the airport and a little bit of action, but not much happened. But here, literally nothing happened. We just see her in an airport, and that's it.
Yeah. It's like
that was weird.
She's going to Brazil or whatever.
And that's it.
And I'm pretty sure we could have figured that out from Wonder Girl number one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of disappointing, because that was probably, out of the Future State, my favorite title. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just me. I liked it. Something new. There wasn't a lot of continuity that I had to know, because she's brand new. So I kind of clung to it. I was like, hey, this is cool. Jumping on point. Let's start off with this girl. And then, you just got that one page. Disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the framing story here is Wonder Woman getting offered a place with the Quintessence.
Yeah. Which, will they have to change their name if she becomes a part of it? Because there'll be six of them then.
I don't think they count that high. I don't know.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I was like, okay, the Quintessence. Is that a group? Is that a real thing? I don't know. Is that made up here?
It pre-exists to this.
Okay.
Is it a real thing? It's not something I consider, you know, classic DC lore or anything. I don't know when it first came about. I want to say with the New 52, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah.
It's not something I put out there as kind of a core part of DC mythology in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I remember when I first read this book, though, this was the weirdest part. This is the framing sequence, because we look at Diana. God, I used to have someone who worked for me named Diana. But so we look at her, and she's kind of like this ethereal cosmic character dressed in white, and I'm just like, what is going on? I've never seen her in space before.
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole white look with Spawn-like ribbons behind her or whatever, it's, I don't know where what they were going with there. It didn't work, and we've read, what, three or four issues of Wonder Woman since this?
Yeah, and it's all taken place in Valhalla.
It had, like, nothing to do with this whatsoever.
Nothing at all. So I'm wondering when that's coming.
Well,
is it coming?
I took this as happening before that story, and where she ends here kind of led into the Wonder Woman stuff.
Yeah, because you almost see her in that Asgardian garb at the very end.
Yep.
So she's jumping from here into Valhalla, which makes no sense to me.
Yes. I mean, it clearly comes afterwards, but there is a clear disconnect and not smooth transition whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm just changing pantheons. Here I go.
They don't even make that clear. It's just I'm out of here. She shows up there.
Yeah. Very weird.
It's that part didn't work for me, so I don't think they really set that up pretty well. We got a little bit of hints in here of what they wound up doing with Justice League, with Black Adam, and with Hippolyta.
Yes.
But the whole bit here, and Bleeding Cool really blew it out of proportion, of Shazadam, or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I thought that was going to be his name. I'm like, that's weird.
Weird's not what I would say. Lame is probably the word I would use.
Yeah, lame.
And it was just some kid who'd gotten him on camera, or some bystander or whatever. It's like, that's what he's called because he didn't know any better. It's like, I thought that was silly.
Yeah.
And then they did, you know, again, this just kept jumping around from place to place and creative team to creative team. So there was no particular through line, even though there was ostensibly a framing sequence around it. The whole bit with, you know, the visitor to Gotham City and stuff, trying to make us think that Bane is dead. And it's like, no, I don't buy that.
Yeah. That you know what book spinning out of this, and I'm only going to tell you this because you're not reading it, is that whole Joker series.
Interesting.
Because the Bane guys are followers, and also Jim Gordon are all hunting down the Joker, so everyone's after the Joker.
Yeah. Well, and I think this, the second part of the Batman stuff, kind of sort of tied into what was going on around that week of releases or whatever with Saint Industries and Scarecrow, and that's been a whole big thing over in at least one of the Batman books.
Yeah.
I forget which one because they just kind of blur together, and honestly, I'm not real excited by either Batman or Detective.
I'm glad you can't remember because I can't either.
So, you know, this whole bit of setting up Barbara Gordon here back as Oracle, with there being multiple Batgirls out there and stuff. This, to me, seemed to be hinting at maybe a return to Birds of Prey.
That's what I thought when I'm reading this, but we haven't seen any hint of that in the books.
Nope. And really, most of where I think we've seen, or where I've seen Barbara, is over in the Nightwing title.
Yeah, so it was this supposed to be a title that maybe got cut with the editors and getting rid of certain people and not telling them that their book wasn't proceeding? It's like Stillborn or something. There was a lot of artists and writers who said, I wasn't even told I didn't have a book.
I think that's possible. I take the simpler answer of maybe not. Maybe not. It was just not really well promoting what it was supposed to be promoting. But yes, maybe there was another title or two of Batgirls and another of Birds of Prey that were going to happen and didn't.
Yeah, we have not seen any hint of this book, so don't know why it's here, but who knows.
Well, again, you're setting up a status quo after 2 months of this future state stuff. So to me, this is, and what I was really excited about at the time, is this is telling us where things are going, even though it 3 months later, it seems like it wasn't where it was going.
Yeah, correct.
So I was unimpressed with that. The whole bit with Grifter and the Fox family, I'm sorry, that whole stuff over there is just not working for me.
It's not with me either. I almost skip it. I really do. So I kind of like browse it, but I don't absorb it or keep any of the info in my head. I just kind of in one ear, out the other.
The more I read of Batman's Second Son, the less I like the way they've got Lucius Fox acting these days.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm not enjoying that title at all. I picked it up and I've been reading it, but it just hasn't been an enjoyable book. And I think it was only like 4 or 5 issues, something like that. The Second Son title, I think.
Four issues, I think, and I don't know that I've read the last. I don't know if the last one's come out yet.
I can't remember, but I just remember it's just not a fun read.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the whole stuff they do with the Amazons setting up Nubia as the queen of the Amazons, Hippolyta going back to man or entering man's world, and stuff like that. Has this played out anywhere?
This has not played out anywhere. We have not seen this stuff. I don't know what's going on. The only hint of Nubia we saw was when they had that almost caricature of her, the young adult title.
Oh, right. The backup feature.
Yeah, but that's nothing like this. She's not. So I don't know where this is or when this is happening.
Yeah. And again, I'm not reading anywhere near everything in DC like I was at one point. So when I ask, is this happening anywhere, that is a legitimate ask.
Yeah. Well, nothing that I'm reading. I'm not seeing this.
Yeah. I thought all the stuff they were setting up there didn't really work for me. Again, we talked about the page or two of Wonder Girl. Well, she's off to take a flight. Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's literally all you see. I mean, I'm just like, okay. I mean, I guess the exciting part is there's people there looking at her saying, we have located the target, and that's it.
Yeah, so there's the implication that she's being followed and she's about to be attacked, and okay.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a nice two-page splash there, but I just...
It was weird.
Yeah, and then when we get to the whole bit with Alan Scott in the JSA, I'm like, this is cool. We get Alan Scott back. We get Infinity Inc. back. I mean, it's nice to have the classic Earth 2 characters back.
And I'm laughing as she's saying.
And I'm like, at least it would be if we saw them anywhere outside of Infinite Frontier.
Yeah. We have not seen any JSA at all. They keep hinting it. I thought, and you thought, that Hawkman was leading towards it. But it's just like this thing that keeps hanging out there. This, like, they're dangling this carrot, but it's never going to happen, it feels like.
I think they've got a couple of teams that are fan favorites. Whether it's fan favorite enough to support a title, okay, maybe not, don't know. But I certainly think JSA, Legion of Superheroes, and a few other teams, a series of mini-series a couple of times a year or something like that, they could support.
Yeah.
And this whole bit with Alan Scott, the classic, you know, Earth 2 version, or Golden Age version, I should say, because he's obviously not of Earth 2, he's on Earth 0, which didn't exist back in the day, but anyways... Making him gay and stuff, I don't know. I don't like it when they take an existing character that I don't think was ever really portrayed that way and decided for the purposes of diversity and representation and stuff, let's go change this old character.
Yeah, it would have. I agree with you there because I know, because I've met before people who've been closeted and came out later in life and maybe have been married at one point and then later on changed their mind. And that's fine. That really happens. But we've never heard the story and we've seen the characters maybe in their private life. That's something that should have been hinted at or like a plot thread that he's keeping this side of him hidden from years ago. You don't just like boom, pop up and this is the first time I'm seeing this character. I'm gay. And it's just kind of odd. I'm like, okay, well, and then when we talked, you know, when we're not recording, I'm like, they've never had any type of story thread or any type of thing where this was maybe a direction he was going, or this is who he really was.
Not on the classic version, but when they redid the Earth 2 stuff with New 52, they did kind of go that way with the character.
Oh, okay, okay, all right.
But to me, it would have worked better if we'd had a JSA title that was ongoing for a little bit, and then we find out that some other lesser known but, you know, archaic character from the Golden Age was gay, and maybe, you know, that's why he was never a member of the Justice Society.
Ah, that would have been cool.
You know, take one of the characters that was established around the time of some of these others, but just fell by the wayside. And something where it's like, okay, this character showed up half a dozen times in the 40s, so there's not going to be a huge fan base for them. You know, maybe not even a lot of characters know about them, but they legitimately exist. Go that route, maybe that would work. But when you take one of the core JSA characters and decide, no, we're going to go this other way with them, you know, and again, it's not about him being a gay character or anything of the sort. I think more representation, more diversity in the characters we get in the comics is a good thing.
I agree.
But shoehorning it into a character for the purposes of, you know, forcing representation or something, that to me just seems awkward.
Yeah, almost like what happened with, what's his name? The Iceman character.
Oh, Iceman. Over the X-Men.
Yeah, over Maverick. Yeah. So, I mean, that was weird too because it's like his coming out was like someone reading his mind. You know, and I'm like, so what episode, if they're reading minds that easily and they're crossing that barrier, I would assume they would have picked that up sometime way before then. It was just odd because the whole time it was a womanizer. There was no hint of it at all with that character. Nothing ever. So that was weird. That felt really shoehorned. So if there would have been like, I think it just would have been a much more interesting story. If it would have been something they could have created a story thread around. This is something that I'm keeping in my private life and they're not comfortable being who they are and keeping that part hidden from their teammates while they're trying to be a good teammate but not being able to be fully open. They could have built a whole plot thread around that, but no, just to say, I read your mind, boom, I'm changed. It just came off so brash and so jarring. Boom, we're going this direction. Okay.
Well, and here to be introducing the Alan Scott Green Lantern as this being a core part of his characterization now.
Yeah.
And really, the JSA has barely shown up in the last decade.
Yeah. I haven't read them.
So, I think they could have done better. This whole thing with his kids of Jade and Obsidian opens so many questions in my mind as to what the timeline of this DC universe really is these days. And the more I kind of think about it, the more my head hurts, and honestly, it sometimes, the less I think they've really thought it through.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong, maybe they've got a total great game plan and stuff, I just wish they would, I don't know, reveal more of it than they have.
I agree.
So, yeah. And the tease for Titans Academy?
That's something I'm not reading. Are you reading that?
Yes.
Okay, was this a good tease? I don't know.
No, there was no substance to it.
I wasn't interested in the book after seeing this.
And if you just look at these two pages, we've got this ferry boat, I guess, that's going to get the kids over there. So you can take a public ferry to Titans Island. That's new. That's weird. And if you look at the page where they're getting to the tower.
Okay.
You've got one kid pulling the Red X mask out of his backpack.
Yes.
They all have Titans-themed backpacks. That's a little weird. But if you look at the kid next to him...
Yes.
He's got the comic book of New Teen Titans number one, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, does that mean that in this DC universe, there is a DC Comics printing comics of these characters?
It's quite possible.
I sure hope that's not the issue I read of New Teen Titans number one, because it gives some stuff away.
That's funny.
But the whole thing they're going on with the Titans Academy is who is Red X?
Yeah.
And this character is not a comic book character. Red X originated on the Teen Titans anime-ish cartoon on Cartoon Network, I think it was.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it was Robin in disguise to go undercover, whatever, and it's not that way here, whatever, but to treat Red X like it's a core part of Titan mythology in the comics, I'm sorry, no.
So they're mixing the two. Interesting.
And I'm not saying they can't pull stuff from other media and bring it in if it works or whatever. But turning the X-Men, you can see where I'm going there, turning the Titans into the X-Men.
Not a good thing, maybe.
What's the point?
Yeah.
So I was unimpressed with this two-page or so teaser, and even unimpressed with Titans Academy itself so far.
Okay, that makes sense. Now the next part we get into was, that was the Jonathan Kent stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? He looked really weird in here, by the way, just the way he was drawn.
Yeah, his suit looks a lot more kind of armored, and I'm not a fan of when they take a superhero costume and you've got all these lines all over the place, like it's either armor plating or stitching lines or just busyness.
Yeah, what's going on with this here?
And the, I don't know, what looked like treads on the outside of the legs and stuff. I don't know, that's weird.
The way that they're taking John, which I had forgotten this the first time I read it, where they're saying in here, he'll never become Superman.
Mm-hmm.
That got really dark. And I was just kind of surprised with the whole thing, because just knowing who the character is as a little boy and seeing him as the good, wholesome boy versus, you know, Damian, who he hangs out with, and all that, you know, Damian-ness, I will call it that. But, I mean, I was just like, are they trying to set this up like Anakin Skywalker? I'm like, what is going on here?
Well, if so, that's a huge mistake for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
One, it's cliche.
Yeah.
Two, they already did that with Damian.
This is weird.
So we're basically saying both of the Super Sons are kind of doomed to go bad. And I'm like, nah, I don't want that.
That was the weirdest thing to me, that they're taking John in an evil direction. And I was just like, which brings, okay, we're getting rid of Superman. They're almost setting up a hero's return, hero's reborn inside the DC universe. It has to come eventually, I'm thinking. And what are you, I guess we're going to have like a father versus son at that point. It's just going to be weird.
I don't know. What did you make of that page that had the different versions of the Daily Planet?
Let me go to it right now. Oh, yeah. That was weird. I didn't know what the heck I was supposed to get by that. Is that how it's appeared over the times? Like the decades?
Yeah. Different times it's had the slightly different looks and stuff. I couldn't tell if that was supposed to be alternate realities or what.
I didn't know how to take it, honestly. I was just assuming it was a nod to the history. Hey, here's how it evolved over the decades. And maybe I just hadn't been reading it, so I thought this was a long-time reader nod.
Well, they say the Imperial Man is the nexus of space and time.
Yeah.
And then we get the one page of the Daily Planets, and then the next page where we kind of recap John's backstory.
Yeah.
And it was weird.
I remember all that stuff.
Well, yeah, I kind of do and kind of don't, because when he was conceived on one world, born on another, both now gone, it's like, well, okay, one of them is pre-crisis, then we had the convergence stuff, which I guess got us to a third world. I mean, do we really need to bring in that convolutedness of a history here?
Yeah.
You know?
It's just really weird. I remember him being kidnapped by his grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
I remember basically him being imprisoned and tormented by his dad.
Ultraman.
Ultraman, yeah. Who's kind of like his dad, looks like him and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but it's the evil version of his dad from Earth 3.
Yeah, so it was just, I remember reading that stuff when Bendis's run, and so I guess that's what's going to make him evil, but he just hasn't been like that. He knew that wasn't his dad. You know, it's weird. This makes no sense.
Well, and if you go nature or nurture, either way, I think it works out well for the kid.
Yeah.
So they're definitely trying to build Jonathan into the next Superman, and I question if that's a good path or not.
Yeah,
I know. I think there are better ways to go, and I'd like to see him strike out and get his own identity.
Yeah, I would too. It's just, that's the part of the book that I really didn't like. I didn't like this whole section on John and Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Or John, I should say, not Superman.
Yeah, John not being worthy of becoming Superman. It was a very depressing take on the character.
Yeah, so I'm just not enjoying that. And every issue of Superman that I'm reading right now, you feel it building towards that. Oh, we're depowering Superman. We're killing him almost, you know, we're
mm-hmm.
making him weak. So it's like, I don't know.
What did you think of the bit with Black Canary and Green Arrow?
I haven't been reading any Black Canary and Green Arrow. Have you?
I don't think there has been any to read other than the Checkmate stuff.
Exactly. So I read it and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm reading this, but what's going on here? Because I have not seen this anywhere.
I mean, they're basically telling us that everyone's getting their memories back and there's history that they're going to just remember.
Yeah.
They get a call from an old Q phone being, I guess, from the Queen Consolidated stuff from his run back in, I forget if that was, that must have been Rebirth. I think it was after the New 52. But I mean, they've gone all over the place with Green Arrow in the last decade. And it being revealed then that it is Arsenal, Roy Harper, that's making the call and stuff. I'm like, okay, he's alive again. That really kind of undercuts a lot of what happened in Heroes in Crisis, although there are other places that totally undercut that too. Because sure, why not? And then I'm like, where is this going to pick up next?
That's what I don't know. Is this supposed to pick up in that? I think there was a new Bendis Checkmate book coming out or something.
Well, there is a, yes, but I quibble on the phrase new because it was the Checkmate stuff that was going to come out when the pandemic hit.
Oh, great. Okay. So
it just got shelved and is coming out now.
So it's not going to fit into anything that's going on.
Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably not. Cause at that point, you know, Jonathan wasn't becoming Superman. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
And that's not the only weirdness with Ollie and Roy. Because if we get to this next part with Stargirl.
Yeah, Stargirl.
This is obviously teasing the Spring Break special we got, a couple of weeks back.
Yep.
We also get the Seven Soldiers of Victory there with Green Arrow and Speedy. But this is from back in the day. Because we've got, you know, a younger Stripesy here. And I'm like, wait a sec. So were Ollie and Roy the Green Arrow and Speedy of the Seven Soldiers of Victory? And if so, how does that work? And short answer, that does get answered over in the Spring Break special.
Okay.
You want me to tell you? You want me not to tell you?
You can tell me. I didn't read it and I'm not buying it.
Okay. Spoilers for people who haven't read that and don't want to know. So just, you know, ignore me for a second. Time travel. Through shenanigans, they get sucked back in time, hang out with those guys for a while, and then make it back to the present day.
Okay.
But that messes up Roy's relationships with everybody, and I think is their excuse for why he got into drugs.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, all of that being a kind of confusing part of overall continuity, fine, whatever. The part that annoyed me the most is we then spend a page or two with her getting into class late and, you know, almost getting in trouble with the principal, but not quite. And then they get a call from one of the Seven Soldiers of, we need your help.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need you.
She just got to school and Pat's telling her, hey, this is a great reason to ditch. First off, great role model. Second off, she's ditching first thing in the morning here.
Yeah.
In the Stargirl Spring Break special, she's leaving after detention right on the Friday going into the spring break week or whatever.
Oh, so they don't mesh.
Not at all.
That's funny. Yeah, the great role model who covers for her for being late and then said, this is a great reason to ditch school. Get out of here, kid.
Just told the principal, yep, she's here, and I'm taking her now.
That's funny.
So how well these things tied into what they were promoting really came down to the creative team on the books.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was almost no editorial oversight or action or anything. I mean,
they just did what they wanted to do and ran with it.
Now, in fairness, there were only 8 editors on this book.
Only 8?
Yeah.
God, that's, yeah. Poor guy. Guys, girls, who knows?
So, yeah. And then it was weird for us to cut back to Batman since we'd already gotten him before and everybody else is kind of a one and done.
Yeah, back to Batman. Is this the Fear State stuff that they're kind of building up towards, I'm guessing?
It seems to be.
Yeah.
And we get just a ton of panels kind of teasing various characters, a few of which I didn't recognize.
Yes.
I couldn't tell who the lady was after the Red Hood.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either. The one screaming, kind of like pointing at paper.
Yeah.
I don't know who she is.
And then the kid getting off the ship or whatever. Is that okay. Damien somewhere, maybe, or after Nightwing?
Maybe that's him coming back from the Robin book, maybe being stuck on that island?
Or going to the island? I don't know.
Maybe going to the island, but he looks like he's getting off the boat. Maybe he's getting off and headed towards the island. Who knows?
I couldn't tell what was going on these things and kind of didn't really care.
Yeah. It looks kind of like him, and we just see a couple of exclamation points by his head, whatever that means.
But this was definitely playing into what was kind of going on in the Batman books, again, with Scarecrow, with the Fear State, and all of that stuff that, honestly, I'm just not loving.
Yeah, that's the big event that's coming up, Fear State. It looks like it's going to cross into a bunch of books.
Is it an event, or is it just the status quo?
Maybe status quo. I honestly don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, me neither.
Either way, I'm ready for them to move on. And they spent a fair amount of time with Batman in this issue.
This one got a lot of pages, too, because most things were getting a couple pages, 3 pages, but this one got a nice big chunk. I mean, it's Batman, so, but yeah, that was a lot.
I do think the Green Lantern stuff was a decent lead into to that title.
I do, too, and it's building up towards, they changed a lot in the Green Lantern book. I've been kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I'm able to read it now versus Grant Morrison. I just was not enjoying it at all.
Yeah, I think I'm liking it better than the Grant Morrison stuff that I dropped, but I think they made some bad choices for where Future State goes and how quickly they're getting there.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. It's better than it has been, but again, a lot of Future State I was just unimpressed with in terms of, really, that's where you want to go?
Yeah, I enjoyed Green Lantern back at, like, I was reading the Venditti stuff, which he was playing off the Geoff Johns stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the stuff I really liked. That's what I want to read.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, the Geoff Johns stuff, I think, was some of the best in recent memory.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Flash stuff?
I thought it was kind of weird. I mean, it's kind of It's bizarre because we're basically saying I know what's going on in Flash, you know, where we had the replacement, but I don't think they handled it very well.
Yeah, because I read this. We've got the Superman of Earth, I think it's 23, offering Barry a position with Justice Incarnate whatever the multiversal version of the Justice League is.
Yeah.
And he accepts, and it's like, okay, Wally, you're going to be back as the Flash on Earth. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, just like, okay, cool, let's go.
What happened with the whole Metron and Dr. Manhattan stuff and, you know, him having killed a bunch of people and all of that? And we're just going to brush that off.
Yeah, so, the whole mental breakdown, all that stuff, it's just gone.
All the Heroes in Crisis, which I did not like, they're just dismissing it.
Yeah.
It's like, if you tell stories and then pretend they didn't happen or they have zero consequences after short order. And sure, they did a miniseries or two to kind of, quote-unquote, rehabilitate him and stuff like that. But it makes it feel like the stories don't matter.
I would agree. That's where it felt kind of weird for me, because I didn't have that relationship with Wally that you and a lot of the longtime readers did.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw him, you know, killing people and doing all the stuff in Heroes in Crisis, I was just like, I was like, oh, that seems kind of odd for the Flash. But for you, it's like, almost slaying a sacred cow. You know, this is not who this character is ever, never has been. But I just didn't have that background. But now to see him just, they're just almost like flipping. Okay, hey, you're the Flash now. And I just see him as more broken. I mean, even in those miniseries, I don't see him as being like fully whole as a person at this point.
And here they're like, tag, you're it.
It felt weird.
Yeah. Well, and the whole bit with Barry joining Justice Incarnate and stuff, hell, he's been acting as tech support for Wally over in the Flash book. So this didn't happen, didn't matter, what's going on? And we get a little mention of this Elseworld and this Earth Omega stuff, and I didn't expect them to do a whole lot with that in the intervening time before, you know, this miniseries of 1-6 of Infinite Frontier kicks in, but they've done absolutely nothing with it as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, not to sidetrack too much, but we had the 100-issue run, I think it was Williamson, had written The Flash. And now we got the new guy. It starts with an S. I can't remember his name. But are you liking the new writer, or do you prefer the previous writer?
For Flash?
Yeah.
For me, I go further back. I think Wade had a brilliant run. I think a lot of the guys doing some of the stuff in the Barry Allen days, pre-Crisis and whatnot, was great. But some of the more recent stuff, you know, introducing of the Sage Force, the Still Force, the Strength Force and stuff,
I thought was
a little uninspired. It seemed like blatant universe building, even though those characters really have gone nowhere because they weren't all that cool.
Yeah.
It was like a, let's do for the Flash what Geoff Johns did for the Green Lantern Corps by building out the Yellow Lanterns, the Indigo Lanterns, the Blue, the Red, etc., etc. But those have stuck around because they were not bad ideas.
Whereas these others, I've not seen them mentioned at all in recent memory.
I don't think they've ever been used outside of the Flash.
Yeah, just kind of gone.
So I have not been loving where they've been going with the Flash for a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the new stuff post here has been fun and entertaining, but they're still having to clean up some of the mess of Heroes in Crisis and reestablish Wally.
Yeah, correct.
So, and I don't think the art in this segment here of this book was particularly brilliant.
Yeah, it wasn't great. You know, just looking at it, it's, yeah, definitely not the best.
Yeah. And then we get to the two-page splash, which has just a bunch of panels as Spectre and Diana are walking through, just kind of, oh, here's everything else going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we got Beetle and Booster. And it's funny because we've got the Blue and Gold series coming up. I forget if the first issue's already come out or not. I don't think it has. That book is like 30 years too late.
30 years too late. That's funny.
Well, I mean, they should have come out with it during the Giffen de Mateus stuff when those guys were, frankly, much more interesting and important characters.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, I almost want to say the Abbott and Costello of the Justice League of the time. There's probably a better phrasing of that, but now it's, I'm sure it'll be fun. I'm sure it'll be a great read. I love the characters, but they're not as relevant today as they were back when they were, you know, key members of the Justice League.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But I mean, we kind of see like stuff that's happening, stuff that may happen. I don't know. Books that are going to be coming. I mean, we see the kid with Aquaman, their baby, which did happen, but some of the stuff, I don't know what it is, but eventually it'll become.
We've got Deathstroke. I'm not sure where he's showing up these days.
Yeah, I don't know either.
The Aqua family, we've got the Green Lanterns. On the next row, we've got Midnighter, Shazam, Suicide Squad, Beetle and Booster. And then we've got Lobo and Crush. We've got an upcoming miniseries. Justice League Dark, the Titans, the Totality, Supergirl or Superwoman, and Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing, yeah. I mean, but the stuff seems kind of like, one of the things that just came to mind, I'm looking at the Green Lanterns. I'm reading the current book. That's not going on.
No.
so I'm like, where is this? Who knows? At some point in time, maybe. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. And none of this got me excited about any of those things.
And me neither. I looked at it and I was just like, the Totality, I'm kind of over that myself. I was just like, all right, there it is.
Kind of over it. They've not had an actual adventure yet.
Yeah, they haven't. No, I'm just saying from the whole Scott Snyder thing with the whole death metal and all that stuff.
Oh, with death metal, they showed a little in Justice League. They get hinted at here and stuff. I actually had to go look up what their name was because I'd forgotten it.
Yeah, we never saw them really again. That was it.
And I don't know if we're going to get a Totality miniseries and they're actually going to do something or not.
Who knows? I mean, it was kind of like a Scott Snyder thing, and he's left for now. Maybe he'll come back and do that. I don't know. I don't know where it's going.
Yeah. And then we get basically Wonder Woman saying, I'm not going to join you guys. Have fun. And then apparently going to head off to her own title. Not that it's kind of...
Viking garb.
Yeah. And now I find myself on a different shore. Okay.
Why?
Why not? And then the two-page gratuitous splash of all the characters that are theoretically relevant right now.
Yeah.
And I say theoretically because here's one or two I'm not sure I could name.
Yeah. And there's like canaries over there. We're not seeing her anywhere. Yeah. I don't know.
This is the kind of splash they like to do periodically, almost like a yearbook photo or something. And it really does date kind of poorly sometimes.
Someone will look back at this one time, man, that was a low point maybe.
We're not even there. It's like, oh yeah, that was the year they wanted to really promote so-and-so.
Oh, they were promoting that person, and you never saw that character in the next 22 years.
Well, like, we've got Steel here behind Superboy.
Yeah.
Is he showing up anywhere?
I haven't seen him. I don't think he's going to, but he could. Who knows?
I don't know.
He's nowhere.
Yeah. And then we end on an epilogue that's essentially, presumably, because again, haven't read it yet, teasing Infinite Frontier 1 through 6.
Yeah.
And I thought that, again, they overplayed their hand.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that what seems like happened there actually did happen.
Yeah, because if that happened, I was like, huh, that's going to change things a lot.
Yeah. So I'm curious where they go with Infinite Frontier 1 through 6, but I hope it's better than this.
Yeah, because it almost seems like they put that in there to almost restart things again. For me, that's what I'm thinking.
How so?
If you go to that links and we come to that ending where everything's being destroyed, that with the destruction, there'll be a rebirth, almost like a fire, you know, that comes to the DC Universe, and then, boom, out comes a new growth. I think the heroes return, you know, like
so
the
you
heroes.
You saw it as like a Ragnarok kind of moment?
That's what I saw it as. It's like, okay. Oh, and then Superman's going to come back. And then all these characters that we sidelined, Batman's not going to be poor anymore, you know, living on the streets. I just, maybe that's where they're going, but I don't know. That's what I was guessing.
Well, and it's funny because there is an aspect here that feels like a definite callback to the start of the New 52.
Yeah. So and I saw, yeah, I the Ragnarok moment, and there will be a rebirth, you know. But I do feel like we're in the midst of when they got rid of DiDio, they said 5G is gone. There is no 5G. I think this is 5G. They're just not calling it 5G.
It sure feels that way.
It does. The books came out. They went ahead. They had the people that had written them. The people had drawn the books. They've released them. And sure enough, Superman's kind of going away. This person's going away. They're all going in different directions. And it feels like this is 5G, you know?
I don't know that it's 5G as DiDio intended it. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it is not. But I definitely think it is. We're taking that and going forward with it just in a slightly different way.
Yeah, like DiDio, maybe he didn't have Lucius Fox. Maybe Ghostmaker was the replacement. I don't know.
Well, I think it was younger Fox, not Lucius, that's the father. It's Jace or whatever, Tim.
I'm sorry.
I think it was going to be him, but I think I got the impression with DiDio's 5G, we would have come out of it with a cohesive timeline of the DC Universe versus one that's increasingly convoluted and confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that page they had to do to recap John Kent's backstory.
Yeah. That was kind of insane.
He was born on one world, conceived on one world, born on another, lives on another, came of age in the future. He's back at this point now. Oh, yeah, he was, you know, went traveling with his grandfather, kind of got tortured by evil version of his father, you know, and it's like almost every, I don't want to say cliche, soap opera-ish sort of a thing crammed into one. And there comes a point where the mile marker events on a character's lives, if you're giving a quick rundown, you kind of got to cover, are so convoluted, it's insane.
Yeah. Poor John. I just say poor John.
It's not me. I think that's the kind of stuff that turns off new readers.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, no, it really is, because what I know of John Kent, Jonathan Kent, and, you know, it's him being a young boy. Mm-hmm. And I knew him growing up and having that back and forth with Damian. And I really loved the Super Sons. I thought it was a really cool book. I remember you and Drew reviewing it and liking it so much that I jumped on board. Mm-hmm. And I was reading it, loved it. Then they aged them. I was like, all right, that's kind of weird. Then they took them to the Legion. And I'm like, okay, this got even weirder for me because I don't know who any of these characters are. Now they're telling me he's going to be evil. And so they've taken this character that was a beloved character of me, who was new into the universe, where I'm like, I don't like him that much anymore. They've turned me off.
Well, and all of that stuff they've done with a character who's been around essentially 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, not that long. It's weird.
Because he really came into being with Rebirth.
Wow. And so they've changed him so much. He's gone from being this young boy, charming boy, to this teenager leader on a different planet, to being, I guess we're going to see him become, I don't know, there was that movie about a Superman analog that was evil. I can't remember the name of it. And he was just killing people left and right. I'm like, I guess that's what we're going to get out of Jeff, out of the character now. Who knows?
Well, just what we've gotten so far is costumed identities. In other words, we'll ignore John before he was a powered individual in a costume. We got the young Superboy as part of the Super Sons. Mm-hmm. We got the teenage version after his, you know, trip with the grandfather and stuff.
Yep.
And I'll lump into that both the before going to the Legion with the Legion and some of the stuff after. Grouping that as, okay, we've got the preteen years, the teen years, as two very different takes on the character, and now we're getting the Superman-ish take.
It's weird. It's very quick. Very, very quick. And while all this has happened, Damian, who was kind of like his counterpart, another character that I really liked, it seems almost he's the same age and the same status quo. Nothing's really changed with him. He is who he is. He's having a fight on an island right now, but that's about it.
And it's funny because I think Damian has had the same essential persona the whole time, and he's probably had, I would argue, maybe twice as many stories told.
That's just nuts.
Because he was in Batman and Robin. He was in some of the Titan stuff. He was in a lot more books, I think, than John's been in.
And John's just been changed at a breakneck pace. Just keeps changing.
And again, within 6 or so-ish years, figuring your average story arc is 6 issues, he hasn't had that many arcs to legitimately age and change this much, I would say.
Exactly. So it's very weird. I mean, because I still read that Super Sons book now, which is kind of weird. They're coming out with the retro book, and here's the old John, and I'm reading it, and I enjoy it. It's just bizarre how quick they changed it for even a newer reader. So I grab onto certain characters. I'm like, okay, this is a character. I like this one. I like this one. Coming into this big new universe that I never read DC before, really, until Rebirth. I mean, and they've changed it so much to where I'm just like, I've kind of lost some affection towards the character. That's not a good place for a new reader. And if I came in as a brand new reader today, I probably wouldn't like him at all. He's not very likable.
Well, they've diluted the character.
They have.
Because if somebody is talking about that character, it's the legitimate question of, well, which version?
Yeah. I like Little Boy John.
Yeah.
You know, or I like this John. Or I like the Legion John. Which one do you like?
I think this whole thing is, I don't know, it's disappointing. I think they've had some good stuff. They just don't know how to keep it going. And they seem to just change directions so much. And I was really hoping to come out of this as excited as I was, like, with the DC Universe Rebirth special from a couple of years back. And I thought that was great. I loved the issue. It really got me excited about the DC Universe. But, of course, that direction didn't last more than a couple of years. And that's got me wondering, well, how long is this direction going to last?
Not very long. Because DC seems to be changing quicker. And I don't know why. I don't know what motivates this or what's driving it. But I've seen it change. It seems like the whole universe is changing at a little bit quicker pace. The only thing I've seen change at Marvel, you know, besides the writers coming in and out, you know, I would say across the universe is maybe in the X books. You know, that was a big change there. But most of the stuff, it's changing here and there, but it's more like not major changes. Here we're having major, this is, character's completely different. Wally is now a murderer. Just very, very, very different change. And to the point where, like you're saying, they're having to restart the universe or go in this direction or let's wipe out continuity here. Or what they're doing now is saying we have the, is it Omniverse?
I forget what they're calling it.
I can't remember what they're calling it. Some kind of verse. And they're like, well, it all happened. It all counts. And it's all going on at the same time. Basically, just read it and go with it. And I was just like, ah, okay.
Yeah, it seemed very much of continuity is whatever we tell you it is when we tell you. And don't worry about it because we're sure as hell not gonna.
It's too much work to figure it out.
It just seemed like they're throwing up their hands and who knows.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed with that. And I really was hoping this was going to read better on a second go round, and it didn't.
Yeah. And actually, you know, talking with you about it, I said it was okay. That's how I felt when I read it. When I say it was okay, it wasn't like the stories were broken. You know, some of the art was good, but overall, it wasn't something that I feel like I was excited about. It wasn't something I was like, this is a good read. I wouldn't recommend it. So it's just like, whatever. But going back and reading it again and talking with you about it, I'm like, yeah, it's portents of bad times to come for a lot of things.
Yeah, and I think part of it is the general direction the DC Universe is going in is not something I'm excited about. But part of the problem with this issue is just the execution of it.
Yeah.
I mean, this was trying to be all things to all people and kind of wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of what they were sort of ostensibly promising that was a false promise.
I agree.
So I'm disappointed. Yeah.
By the way, I did have a question for you because at the end of the book, we have a Vision. And I don't want to make it spoilerly, but that character, I kept seeing him earlier on in Rebirth as a baby. Like, I guess he had been destroyed and he was like a little kid or a little baby trying to gain his strength.
Yeah, he's had that a time or two.
When did he become full size? I can't remember. Is he back to full size now?
Sure looks that way here.
Yeah, see him that much. I'm like, so I'm just still picturing him as a baby, but I guess not.
I thought that he had gotten past that.
Maybe he did, and I just can't remember.
I want to say in the Wonder Woman title a few years back.
Oh, I dropped Wonder Woman, so maybe it happened in there? I don't know. Maybe before or after I dropped.
I'm not sure.
Who knows? Okay, he's big. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think they're trying to make this character have a much, much larger importance than maybe the character should.
Yeah.
That having been said, I don't know of a different character that would make more sense to use.
Yeah, that's probably the only one that would make sense.
I mean, they're almost trying to build this character up as if he's kind of the equivalent of, like, Thanos over in Marvel in the movies and such.
Unless they want to take John and really go Anakin Skywalker on him and make him into the Darth Vader, like, of the DC Universe. Who knows?
Well, him and Damian.
Yeah, exactly. They take over the world.
I'm looking forward to maybe the next major shift they go through at DC, and maybe it'll be more like the excitement I felt with Rebirth and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was going to say I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm not.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm curious about, I don't know, you know, as a reader and knowing the ins and outs of DC, who's steering the ship? You know, I'm assuming somebody has a vision for here's where we're going. And in the past, I would have said that's Dan DiDio. And right now I would say, okay, I'm assuming it's Jim Lee, and then people write their books and do their things around, we're headed towards this, on this path towards this direction. But with AT&T, you know, basically saying we're spinning off and selling this company and everything, lock, stock, and barrel to Discovery, merging it with them, and we're not going to have anything to do with it. I don't know who's going to be making the decisions, or if everything's just going to be held and almost like a holding pattern until the new overseers take over. I just don't know what's going to happen with DC.
I think DC's going to continue on the path it's going on until they've gotten direction to go some other way. I mean, they can't just, you know, pause and
yeah,
you know,
I don't circle. Think they can. Yeah, I would not want to have a big event-changing thing if I was taking over from a Discovery executive. Why are you guys doing that? Don't do that. Wait until we take over. They must have a vision of where they want the company going and where maybe they want these things going. Who knows?
I don't know that the corporate higher-ups are going to be so concerned about what's happening in a bunch of comic books that
yeah, that's true.
Maybe 100,000 people read if you're really lucky.
Very true.
I mean, what's going on in the Titans book? I don't know, 40,000 people may care?
And that's just a rounding error.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter to them.
I'd be shocked if it did. The characters have value. What's going on in the comics does not.
Yeah, I think they'd be more conservative with the movies. You're right.
They certainly should be, because those are more expensive to do and have a much bigger payout if they go well.
Exactly.
But I'm not sure who is the creative visionary over at DC these days. I just know that where I would take the characters or where I want them to go isn't where they're going.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. But yeah, it's going to a dark place. And that's where the question is as we move forward when we do our monthly spotlights. I'm curious how much you're going to be in on the DCU. I'm just really curious.
I was going through my order for June as I was sending it in the other day, and I was noticing how many titles were hitting, and not just DC, but multiple publishers, 5 of 5 sort of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm also looking at the total being a bit more than I think it should be for the amount of enjoyment I'm getting out of stuff. So, yeah, I may be pulling back a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. I could see, I mean, when I see the prices of books and the things, I see why people go digital with like a Marvel Unlimited or a DC Infinite. They think that they can read, you know, just wait 6 months, wait 3 months.
Well, it's $7 to $10 or something for one of those services.
Yeah.
This comic was a $5.99 cover price.
That pays your monthly fee for one of the services right there.
Yeah.
So it's prohibitively expensive to get into it, which is why kids don't read the books, which is why they're writing the books for adults in a shrinking number of us, I think.
I just don't think they're doing a good job of retaining existing readers.
I agree.
I mean, in my mind, and I've said this before, you've got three groups of readers. You have to target all three. New readers, existing readers, lapsed readers.
And if you don't target all three, you're in trouble.
Exactly. But if you don't focus on the existing readers, does it do you any good to get new readers?
Nope.
Because you're not going to keep them. And if you've got the lapsed reader willing to give the book another try, but you can't keep readers, what's the point?
Yeah. Very true. And actually, the existing reader and the lapsed reader, I think, are more the hardcore fans. The new reader, there are some new readers. There are. They're not like this unicorn that doesn't exist. But some of it's driven by speculation, and some of it's driven by just curiosity. And not all of them tend to stick. I think the ones who are the existing readers can stick a little bit longer if you treat them right and give them a reason to stay where they are.
Well, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And the existing reader is that bird in the hand.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, you know, you got to keep them as your core audience, because that's really what's paying the bills. And then the next easiest to get is the person who's lapsed, because they were willing to get the comic at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just got to get them back and keep them.
Get them excited.
There's a barrier to entry there, but an overcomable one. Then you've got to actually reach out and get the people who haven't read that comic or comics at all.
Yeah.
That's a harder sell.
Very hard.
Particularly at these price points.
Yeah. When you get to $5, it's very hard to get someone in, because they're not going to a DCBS. They're not going to Cowabunga Comics or Deep Discount Comics. They're not going to a Midtown Comics. They're walking into a store, probably, because that's the only place they can find one. And when they see $10 for two of these things that I can read in 5-10 minutes, they might, that might be the one and only purchase they make.
Yeah. Yeah. it's a tougher sell these days.
It really is.
Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool. The August previews came out on July 28th, and the deadline for preview spotlight number 165 is the morning of Saturday, August 7th. Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.